BizScoops is proudly produced by NewsScoop.
Good day to you and welcome to BizScoops for business news, local and international. My name is Isabel Potgieter. On the show today, consumer confidence in South Africa has improved slightly, and Eskom reports improved financial performance. The economist, Waldo Kriegel, talks about food prices, hunger and structural reform. In international business news, Australia and the European Union signed a major free trade agreement to reduce reliance on China. In investment news, Netcare has reported a modest improvement in trading performance despite ongoing pressure in the medical scheme environment and a fire at one of its facilities. And we talked to the executive manager of business planning at the Gautrain Management Agency, GMA, Jared Gray. Consumer confidence in South Africa has improved slightly, with higher income households showing the biggest gains. This is according to the latest FNB BER index. The first quarter reading rose to minus 7, the highest since late 2024, although it still reflects a negative outlook. Economists say affluent consumers benefited from lower interest rates, stronger markets, and pension withdrawals. Confidence among low income households has declined as weak job growth and limited income support continue to place pressure on finances. Eskom has reported improved financial performance despite a continued decline in electricity sales. The power utility says revenue rose to over 273 billion rand for the first 9 months of its financial year. This is mainly by tariff increases. It expects to remain profitable for a second consecutive year. And we reported last week that inflation slowed to 3% in February. We asked Chris Hutting of the Centre for Risk Analysis what they predict for April. Another decrease or a possible spike?
There is most assuredly a strong possibility that inflation will spike in April on the back of higher fuel and electricity prices. These fuel prices and electricity prices were already set to increase in April, that on the back of Eskom electricity tariff increases, as well as higher fuel levies coming into place from April. But this is also now pushed further up by the conflict in Iran and on the back of higher international oil and fuel prices. According to data released last week, inflation, annual inflation, slowed to 3% in February, down from 3.5% in January. However, prices are expected to start rising more rapidly from April. In terms of inflation expectations, households expect prices to rise by 5.4% over the next 12 months. Against this backdrop, it is unlikely that the South African Reserve Bank will cut interest rates at its next meeting, which is scheduled to be held later this week.
We now have the economist Professor Waldo Kriegel on the line with us. Professor Kriegel, after many years, there is still food insecurity in South Africa. Why is that?
At a time that we are worried about a fuel price shock linked to inflation, specifically food inflation, the South African Human Rights Commission held the first 2 days of a national inquiry into South Africa's food system on 13 and 14 March at the Nelson Mandela Foundation in Johannesburg. Researchers emphasized that South Africa is a net food exporter with competitive agricultural sector, yet child stunting has remained stubbornly high over 30 years. There's no doubt that this challenge is real, but as a more market-oriented economist, I'm worried about the language being used by civil society organizations. There's talk about the concentration of power in the food value chain and profiting from hunger. There are statements that we need to ensure that the food system works for everyone and have fair prices. It makes me worry about ill-conceived proposals for VAT zero rating, subsidies, or involvement of the Competition Commission. The Commission has already undertaken a grocery retail inquiry and a fresh produce market inquiry. This has shown that high food prices are the result of a systems problem. The structure of the economy is such that new retailers struggle to enter the market. Small-sized farmers have limited access to national fresh produce markets, and most municipal-owned markets impede, restrict, or distort competition due to inadequate funding and inconsistent bylaws. These are structural problems that have to be solved along with all our other big problems. And then we shouldn't forget that the economy hardly grew over the last number of years, and that limits everyone's access to a better plate of food.
Thank you. That was Professor Waldo Kriegel, an economics professor at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Professor Kriegel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify and Anchor FM. Australia and the European Union have signed a major free trade agreement after 8 years of negotiations, removing tariffs on more than 99% of goods. The deal is expected to boost trade and improve EU access to Australia's critical minerals. Both sides seek to reduce reliance on China. However, some agricultural exports, including beef and lamb, will remain subject to quotas, drawing criticism from farmers. Leaders say the agreement will strengthen economic and security ties, with the potential to significantly increase exports over the next decade. The private healthcare group Netcare has reported a modest improvement in trading performance for the 5 months to February, with revenue up 4.5% year on year. The group says margins improved slightly as costs remained contained, despite lower activity levels. Patient volumes grew marginally, although a fire at Netcare Pretoria East Hospital disrupted operations during the period. Netcare notes ongoing pressure in the medical scheme environment, but expects activity to strengthen in the second half of its financial year. Before we say goodbye, we are joined by the Executive Manager of Business Planning at the Gautrain Management Agency, GMA, Jared Gray. He tells us more about the agency's mandate that has expanded beyond operating a rapid rail system to include other important services related to transport. Jared, the Gautrain Management Agency's mandate has expanded beyond operating a rapid rail system to include other services. How do you describe the authority's role today to an ordinary Gauteng commuter who still thinks of Gautrain as just a train?
In its simplest form, it's beyond mobility. We look at transport as a lifestyle. So how do we look at transforming a daily commute but integrate other elements of life? As an example, you know, in the future, in the fullness of time, you'll be able to do your grocery shopping at a Gautrain station. You'll be able to cut your hair at a Gautrain station, amongst others. Renew your driver's license, your learner's license, your motor vehicle license at a Gautrain station. So effectively, we want to look at what are the core components of a lifestyle of the commuter and how do we now play a role in facilitating that moving forward.
You now provide convenient licensing and testing services at Gautrain stations and at the GMA offices. What has been the impact of these smart centres on service backlogs and customer experience?
The genesis behind how this all started was during COVID. So during COVID, there was a bit of a backlog. I think 700 or so licences in Gauteng. And what effectively happened was the MEC of Transport, Roads and Transport at that time, asked for our help to say, look guys, you guys are quite sharp at running the train. Is there any way you can enhance this process? And there's been a number of, I think, efficiencies and innovations we've implemented. So as an example, we run completely cashless systems. The second would be we've merged processes and integrated them. Certain processes that were very linear, we've now put into parallel. We've got what is termed smart enrollment units. This means you can now do everything at one desk. So you can pay for your driver's license, do the test, do your eye test, all of that, and still print your actual permit at the same desk without having to move around. What that then does is it frees up capacity so you can service more customers. Ordinarily, the problem that we're solving here is that effectively, if you wanted to renew your driver's license, you'd have to take leave and it's a whole day affair. And now it's about 15 minutes. Where we sort of see this going forward, it's to roll out the smart driver's license across the province. That's effectively what we'd like to do.
How is GMA using its internal expertise, such as rail, property development and project management, to support public sector partners and keep Gautrain a benchmark for safe, reliable and innovative transport?
I think the message from us to industry and to the market is very clear. We're open for business. We get approached by industry, by the state, by our neighbours across the border, sub-Saharan Africa, to help. We're the first of our kind in Africa. The only high-speed rail link in sub-Saharan Africa. And to that extent, there's a lot of interest, a lot of please share some learnings with us. What we've started to do is to package that. So we've got proprietary technologies that we've built up over time that we'd like to implement. Advisory services in and around PPP management. What you'd find is that policy certainty drives everything and we can advise adequately on that as well. There's also business processes, business partnering that we can also advise on. So from that perspective, we're keen to help, I think, other rail entities, other transport entities as well. There are one or two programs that we have started collaborating on, and we're hoping to see that scale in the market.
And that was the Executive Manager of Business Planning at the Gautrain Management Agency, GMA, Jared Gray. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizCoops. My name is Isabel Potgieter. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizCoops, proudly produced by Newscoop.